And these kids just run everywhere with these medals. And they're going up to kids they've never met before, they never talked to before, and they're saying, wear this medal, Mary's gonna bring you to Jesus Christ. To see these kids go around this room and do that, to be so full of joy. Beautiful, incredible thing, and I'm just walking around the room like this. It's so crazy.
My brother, thanks for being here. As you know, there's a great saying that all of the saints, all of the doctors of the church agree upon, and that is that Mary is the fastest, sweetest, most secure path to Jesus Christ. Maximilian Kolbe took it a step further and said, we have to do everything possible to spread devotion to the Virgin Mary. And he adds three times, he says, and do it as soon as possible, as soon as possible, as soon as possible. So tell me how this isn't just a theory. How have you put this into practice in your own life?
I just finished my first year of seminary, and my summer assignment was this parish here in Houston. Huge blessing from God. I got to work with the high schoolers there. And I got to see, and I'll go on to explain this, but I got to see how getting them to Mary and then just really telling them the truth about the faith and not holding back, works miracles. Just the progress these kids made in a month, month and a half was astounding. And obviously their faith grew tremendously, but my faith grew by seeing these kids. And so it started off this summer. We went to Cove Crest. It's a Life Team camp in northern Georgia. We were there for just 1 week. It was really, really an incredibly just grace-filled time. And I knew that Mary had to be there if it was going to be as fruitful as possible. Because we want the best, right? We don't want anything less than the best. And so I almost didn't do this, but like right before we left and got on the bus, I remembered to make the medals I needed to make for all the kids to have on the bus ride, right? And so part of the bus ride was we prayed a rosary. The youth minister let me lead that rosary, so I got to explain the rosary to them. We prayed the rosary, and then I got to give them all a medal, a miraculous medal. And I explained why they need to wear the medal, and why it's so important, and what Mary can do when we wear the medal with confidence,
right,
to wear it outside their shirt, especially at this camp.
Confidence is the
confidence
key.
Confidence is huge. And so, and they did that. I think three-fourths of them wore the medal the entire time. And I know for certain that is what spurred on the rest of the week for each of these kids, because so many of them had greater experiences than they had ever had at Cove Crest. Many of them had been multiple times before, but they all, almost all of them reported that, like, this was the best camp they had ever had in their entire lives.
So simply by entrusting them to the Virgin Mary, yeah, consecrating the trip.
Consecrating the trip to her and just letting her do what she does best, right? And so throughout the course of that week, I got to, you know, share my story with a few of them because I saw they were going through the same things I was going through during high school, right? And so my story resonated with them. In particular, two kids I got to talk to and share my story with. One was struggling with what I had struggled with in high school, you know, smoking weed and things like that. And he was tired of lying to his parents. And so actually one morning I'm walking to go to the chapel to pray, and they were doing confession every morning by the lake they have there. It's just beautiful. And I was walking by and I saw him in line. I said, are you going to go or what? I was kind of just pushing him a little bit. And he goes, I'm thinking about it, but I might as well just wait till Friday. Friday was the second to last day we were going to be there, so I can go home at peace. And I'm like, hold on. I was like, why wait till Friday when God wants to give you something right now? What if he has something really incredible waiting for you right now at this camp, in this really like blessed place? Why not receive that now? And he was like, oh, okay. So he goes to confession. And after confession, he finds me. He's like, hey, I need to talk to you later. I'm like, okay. So I find him later in the day. And he tells me everything he's struggling with that I had just said, right? Struggling with smoking. And he was tired of lying to his parents about it. And he was tired of living this lie. And so I was able to tell him my story and all the things I struggled with and how the Blessed Virgin Mary and praying the rosary every day and really praying the four rosaries every day changed my life entirely. And he got really emotional. He was like, okay, I'm done. I'm done with this. I don't want this anymore. This is the wake-up call I needed. Through the camp, he grew a lot. But then after the camp, you know, he got back home, and his friends would hit him up at night asking him to go out with him. And he's like, I don't do that anymore. I pray the rosary every day. You want to go pray the rosary? We can go do that. Wow. Like, changed. Yeah. Huge change for this kid. And I'm so proud of him. Another one was this girl I met at this trip, and she was in relationships that weren't healthy, and so I was able to share my story with her, and I'll talk about her a little bit later. But she had a huge conversion. It started at Cove Crest. But the whole week, there was just so much fruit that was born there. And I just, a shout out to Cove Crest. If you are a youth minister, if you work with high schools at a parish, and if you can afford it or you can raise the money to send kids there and go with them, it's a truly incredible place. It's incredibly well-structured. The talks they give are really, really edifying, and they give practical advice to these kids so they can go home and use the things they've received there. I was really, really impressed by that. And I also think that those people and just the people that work there just pray a lot for the kids that come there because of all the things that happen. One quick story, just providential story that happened. One morning, they had two Dominican, Nashville Dominicans lead a rosary and teach like a little like short lesson on the rosary, and then we prayed with them. After they had presented the rosary, a friend of mine who's now a priest, Father Christopher, he went up to one of the sisters, and he's like, hey, you need to go on YouTube and look up this video called Amazing Rosary Testimony, and it's going to be this guy, and it's an incredible story. And, you know, he was just doing what he always does. But she was like, okay, yeah, that's awesome. I'll go check it out. And we only talked very briefly about it. And then later in the evening, the session that night, the host told all the parishes, all the kids, okay, you have four options. You can either go pray a rosary with Sister Maria Lucia, the Nashville Dominican. You can go to adoration in the main chapel. You can do Lectio Divina, or you can stay here and we'll do praise and worship. So the kids all break out and they go to these different places. And I was dead set on going to adoration. I was going to go pray, do some mental prayer, journal. And I had been really looking forward to that. But as I approached the front of the main chapel where they were going to do adoration, I felt Mary stir within my heart saying, ask me what I think you should go do.
Yes.
I'm like, okay, Mary, where do you think I should go? And she says, rosary. I'm like, oh, man. I was really sad I'm going to adoration. I didn't really want to go to the rosary. For whatever reason, I was kind of torn. But I asked her two more times, Mary, where do you want me to go? Rosary. Mary, where do you want me to go? Rosary.
So it's important. You have consultation with Mary. You're not just making your own choice.
No. And at this point, it was it's almost the clearest I'd ever heard her kind of talk to me in this way. And so I was like, fine, okay. And so I walk off to the other chapel where the rosary is going to be said. I remember walking over there and she's like, do you trust me or not? And I was like, okay. All right, Mom.
She can be a cold-blooded.
She can.
Very strict.
Very strict. So I was like, okay. So as I'm approaching this chapel, literally as I approach the front step, Sister Maria Lucia comes out. She goes, oh, you've come to give your testimony to these kids. And I'm like, what? I'm like, I mean, if you want me to, okay. And I knew immediately that's why Marian sent me over there, right? And I told her, right, as these kids are walking in this chapel, I go, I think, you know, it's funny you said that because I felt like Marian was telling me to come here because I was going to go to adoration. And she's like, I think you're right. Mary did tell you to come here. And so I was able to give my testimony to these kids. So things like that would happen, these incredibly providential moments, not just with me, but our whole parish there. That camp was incredibly fruitful. And I know, and it began, right, with giving them the medal.
Yes.
But also, Mary put on my heart from the first day we were at that camp to pray rosaries for these kids every day.
Yes.
And I did that for the remainder of the summer. So not only is she starting to work on them by them wearing the medal with confidence, but then I am praying for them rosaries. I'm praying for their conversion, their sanctification, the salvation of their
souls. And as you know, one of my favorite books, The Life of Union with Mary, he talks about you have to pray for the people to be able to hear the message. So it's so important.
Yes, because she disposes their hearts, right? Like there's only so many things I can tell them, or the youth minister can tell them, or a priest can tell them in the homily. There's only so much you can get across by what us, you know, fallen creatures can tell these kids. Mary can do what we cannot. She can dispose them. She can soften their hearts that have been hardened by the world and by all the wounds they have and all the things they've gone through, but she can reach them in that way that we can't.
Giving them the medal is so important because it's like she's a mediatrix of all grace, and Maxima and Colby would agree with you.
Right.
If you just get people to wear the medal, because of the promises of the medal, she is going to work.
It's guaranteed.
Yeah.
It's a guarantee.
Yeah.
And so I saw that. And so again, I started praying rosaries for them. We get back from Cove Crest, and there were so many fruits right away. You know, a group of them started a Bible study that me and Father Chad would lead on Fridays. They would get there for 6:30 Mass just so they could go to this Bible study afterward. They were going to Mass. They would drive out 45 minutes away from where they lived to go see the other priest that was with us, Father Christopher at Cove Crest. Drive 45 minutes just to go to Mass to see him. So they were doing all these things right off the bat from Cove Crest. And these kids, let me preface this, these kids did not care about their faith really before that camp. I mean, they knew it was somewhat important, but, and I'll read some things they said and they told me in a little bit, but they, you know, they just really didn't really care. And they had all these wounds, these massive wounds that so many young people have that were holding them back, right? And they didn't have anyone to talk to about them. And so for this growth to just happen in the course of a couple weeks was astounding. But then it would only go further from that as the time went on this summer. But one thing that happened after the camp was Mary put it on my heart. I was praying a rosary, And I felt her tell me, I need you to teach them classes on devotion to me. I was like, okay. And so what that ended up culminating in is they did this youth night every Wednesday at this parish. And so the youth minister just told me, hey, I'll give you the last 3 weeks of July. You teach on those last 3 weeks every Wednesday. I was like, okay. So I prayed about it. And essentially the structure was I gave my full testimony the first day. Just told them everything. I think it's important. I didn't hold anything back when I was talking to these kids, right? Because they're going through those things. And to hold back is a disservice. If you've gone through tough times and led sinful lives and everything, and that's part of your conversion story, sharing that with them reaches them because they're going through that.
I'll post a link to Kenan's testimony if you haven't heard it yet.
Yeah, and so I gave them my full testimony up until that day, right? Up until entering seminary and everything. And I think that resonated with them. Because some of them had heard it, right, at the camp and everything, but the other kids hadn't, so I shared that with them. And then the next class, I gave a class on the Eucharist and the Mass. I prayed about what to talk about, and I broke down, you know, John 6 for them in the Greek of, you know, eating to chewing on his flesh, and how the times where the Jews were murmuring after he'd say these tough things, he didn't back down and say, I'm just speaking symbolically, I'm speaking literally, right? That's when he switched to chew. And he talks about his flesh. And I talked to them about that. And they were listening, and there was kids taking notes, right? And they were like really buying in. And I really kind of stressed the point to them about, in verse 66, Jesus lets those disciples leave because they walk away because it's too tough of a teaching for them. And I kind of stressed to them, we do the same thing, right? When we commit mortal sin and we sin, we turn from Christ. We turn like these disciples, and he lets us go. I really try to stress them. He lets us go. It wouldn't be love if he forced us to do that. But because he gives us the free will to choose him, he wants us to choose him. And that really, they really bought into that. And then I went on to talk about the Mass and how the Mass is Calvary Hill. And how everything should point to that at the Mass, sacred music and all these things. And these kids are incredibly blessed to be at a parish that has those things. So I was trying to stress to them, don't take this for granted. Because not many parishes have this. And that resonated with them. And I even talked about the reception of Holy Communion, how it's best to receive Holy Communion. I told them about lex orandi, lex credendi, the law of prayer is the law of belief. And that, you know, this isn't speaking over their heads. They understand. I think sometimes people hold back from teaching kids things because they don't think they understand, or they grasp that.
Right. If they can take calculus in high school, they can learn some basic theology.
They can, they can learn lex orandi, lex credendi. And you tell them that because it's going to help their faith. It's a law of the church. It's going to help their faith. And they totally understood that. And they didn't push. There's no pushback. They're like, okay, that makes perfect sense. I'm going to start doing that. Receiving on the tongue. Receiving in a way that your body tells you what you're doing is incredibly important. And they bought into that. And the last class was on Marian devotion. And so I broke down the wedding feast of Cana and the Mary at the foot of the cross in John 19 and how Jesus Christ's dying wish to us was that we would have her for our mother. And so again, they were all taking notes and they really bought into that. And so I saw a lot of fruit from those classes because then they would have to come to me with questions to further understand what was going on. And again, this whole time I'm continuing to pray these rosaries for them, continuing to ask our Blessed Mother to dispose them to receive the graces. And they kept growing. And the kids that were these, particularly these three girls that would come to this Bible study, they grew an absolutely tremendous amount. Really, really special people. And I saw them go from incredibly wounded and I had no idea how wounded they were, right? Because I barely just met them at Covecrest. But from that to now, the growth has just been like, I could have never imagined this would possibly happen. And so I actually want to share, I had asked them to send me just what their life was like before, their prayer life and their life in general was like before, and how it's changed to what it is now. And so one of them wrote, and I just want to share this because I think it's incredibly, incredibly powerful. Before camp, this is what she says. Before camp, I would say I was a textbook Catholic. I went to church every Sunday on holy days, but didn't really think twice when we had to miss church because of a trip or errand we had to run. We prayed before meals sometimes, and I rarely prayed on my own, only when I needed something. I didn't pay attention in Mass or really care that much about what was happening in the Mass. Before camp, I used to go out to parties with my friends and surround myself with alcohol and temptations, which I indulged in whenever I got the chance to, and it wasn't that big of a deal to me. A big thing that I had going on was that I had major body image issues. I would see a post on Instagram of another girl who was insanely pretty and super skinny, and that's what I would ask. And I would ask why I couldn't look like that. And there was a point for 5 days where she didn't eat a single meal because of wanting to look like this girl she had seen on Instagram. And this ended up leading on to her eating one meal a day for 6 months. Wow. That led up right up to camp. And at camp, she had a pretty extremely profound experience, and I know just the metal was starting to work on her, right? To where she would eat multiple, she told herself, I'm eating 3 meals a day at camp. And she ate 3 meals a day at camp. And she told herself, I'm going to wake up at 6 and go to the chapel early. She woke up at 6 and went to the chapel early and just sat in God's presence. And she talks about here how just merely being in his presence was extremely beautiful for her and profound for her. Because before, when she's struggling with this, these images, these body image issues, she said, I was looking for God to speak loudly to me, to show me a big sign, and I never got it. So I was like, how could this God exist if he doesn't show me anything? How could I believe in his existence if he's letting me suffer like this? But in her going to the camp, she was able to see and realize he speaks to me in the silence. He speaks to me in the little ways. And so she got to experience that at camp. And she says, the last thing I wanted to do was fall away from God. And she goes on to explain how she wake up at 6 and go to the chapel. And that she, like I just said, she realized God was revealing himself to me all along, not necessarily in big ways, but in little ways, also known as providence. I remember being in the chapel alone at 6:15 and just breaking down because all this time I had been blaming him for not revealing himself to me. I felt so much regret and remorse for not looking around and maybe even considering that it was God who was continuously providing for me all along. I was ignoring all of the road signs, but once I was finally open to the idea that he was revealing himself to me in little ways, my faith instantly grew stronger in that moment. A lot of this transformation of my faith had to do with the people that I decided to surround myself with. I cut off the ones that only led me to sin and created a new friend group who would go to Mass with me and pray the rosary with me and who wasn't afraid to call me out when I was falling off a little bit. Another thing that completely changed at camp for me was the sacrament of the Eucharist. I never paid that much attention during that part of the Mass, but now I look at the Eucharist unlike anything I've ever looked at. I now look at it with such beauty and such adoration. I didn't realize how much power was held in that little piece of bread that turns into the flesh of our Lord, and I was in complete awe when it clicked. And then she goes on to talk about Marian devotion. And I'm going to read what she said. She says, the seminarian. I'm not going to use that. I want everyone to know that it's Mary.
Right, yes.
We are vessels.
Anybody can do this.
Anybody.
Yes.
Anybody can do this. And she talks about how Marian devotion has become so important to her. Ever since I've been praying to her through regular prayer and especially through the rosary, it's insane how much clarity I've gotten from praying to Mary over this last month that I've been home from camp. I'm still trying to dive deeper into it and that it will take time, but I'm super excited to learn more. This seminarian, Mary, has changed my entire life and my thought process. He has helped to teach me how to learn to love myself again. When I was at a point in my life to where I couldn't look at myself in the mirror, without thinking the most negative things ever. Post-camp, now, I'm going to Mass minimum 3 times a week and praying the rosary often. I'm eating 2 to 3 meals a day. I'm treating my body now as a temple, as a sacred place where God dwells. I'm not depriving myself of food because of some image I've seen on the internet. I finally found the silence that I had at camp through going to Mass and through adoration and the rosary. I look forward to going to daily Mass and receiving the Eucharist. I pay attention and understand what is really happening in the Mass. I'm praying more often than I ever thought I could. I look for God in every aspect of my day and find Him in every part. I am excited for the faith. I cannot wait to get involved at the Catholic Church at my college campus to show others how amazing God is. I wear my scapular and my miraculous medal with pride instead of wanting to hide it so I'm not judged or made fun of. Overall, my prayer life is stronger than ever. I'm glad I got this wake-up call before college because my faith is going to be tested and I needed to be strongly rooted. And so that's just one of the testimonies from these kids.
And I was blessed to meet them. There was an Archdiocesan Youth Conference, and these girls came up to me and were treating me like a celebrity. And I was like, whoa, easy, easy. Who are you, first of all? And they're like, we know all about you. We were with Keenan, and he showed us your videos, and he showed us the podcast. And my first reaction was, not only are these girls all in, but they are so freaking solid in their faith. Like, they were saying things that people who've been devout and reverent for maybe 10 years, super trads or something, it was just mind-blowing to me that this happened in just a month's time.
Yeah. No, I know. It's incredible. So I just want to share one or two more things of what they said. Another girl out of these three girls, she told me before camp, she was in unhealthy relationships, what I alluded to earlier. Only went to church on Sundays, got nothing out of the Mass, had no prayer life. Desperately trying to find fulfillment in earthly things, and only went to confession once or twice a year. And so, like I said, this is the girl I shared my story with at the camp. And the story really intrigued her and really wanted to help her to make changes in her life. But particularly the rosary stuck out to her. And she would ask me throughout the rest of the camp, can you teach me how to pray it? Can you teach me how to meditate on the mysteries? And so we did that. And I prayed a rosary, her first rosary with her that she had prayed in many, many, a long time. And I was like, we're going to pray for you to have good Catholic friends when you go off to college. Because college is just, you're in the mouth of the tiger when you go to college, right? It's just really, really, really hard. And so we prayed for that. And she goes on to say, my intention was to make good Catholic friends per Keenan's suggestion. And so we prayed. And I can only honestly say that it was the best rosary I've prayed. As I got back from camp, a few girls and I just started having a Bible study after daily Mass with Father Chad and Keenan. And it also started going to daily Mass on Tuesdays to St. Faustina to see Father Christopher, as well as Mass on Sundays. I started to realize that the girls I had gone to Bible study with, as well as Father Chad, Father Christopher, and Keenan, had been the answer to my first rosary prayer of good Catholic friends. And that was the moment I knew that a devotion to Mary was the path I wanted to take. I knew she heard me, and I knew she loved me right then and there. I then realized that she had been walking with me through my faith journey. I began to pray a rosary every day after Cove Crest, and have since worked my way up to praying four a day, as well as praying the breviary in the span of a month and a half.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, she prays the breviary. I cannot stress to you enough how important a devotion to our mother is, as she has bestowed many graces on me and on the people I pray for. I have now begun a year of discernment, and I'm happier than I have ever been, being a vessel for Mary. I've been very lucky to have the ability to pray the rosary without struggle and pray it well, and benefit from it every time I pray it. As she gives me graces throughout my day, and throughout the little things, like holding my tongue, and doing little acts of kindness and sacrifice for others. And we also gave her the story of a soul, with St. Thérèse of Lisieux. And she says, another thing that has helped me tremendously in figuring out my faith journey and my past was the autobiography of St. Thérèse of Lisieux, A Story of a Soul. She taught me how to make sacrifices in the little things I do and to follow her little way. Since reading this book, I desire so much to be like her and to live a life similar to that of hers as well as Mary. I have only a desire to love Jesus and to be a vessel for Mary and teach people how amazing she is and how much she has changed my life. The fact that that's happened in a month and a half, she's praying the breviary, like who does
seeing
that?
Seeing suffering as an opportunity to offer sacrifice is something that adults in their faith struggle with.
And Mary, she's done that for these kids. And the third girl out of these three, she comes from a very tough situation at home. It's been abusive at times. And she has so many wounds from that. And she came to Cove Crest, and that was all under the surface. And she has an incredible personality and is full of life, but that was just sitting under the surface. And through going to daily Mass, going to confession, going to adoration, praying the rosary with these girls, she has grown a tremendous amount. She talks about and told me that her best part of her week is going to Mass with them, is going to adoration, is seeing the Eucharist and spending time with the Eucharist, is praying the rosary. And she struggled with the rosary at first, but now she too is praying four a day. And never wants to stop, and wants to share it with, quote, the whole world. That's what she said. So to see this growth in such a short amount of time, it's just mind-blowing. And again, it strengthened my faith. And so the last thing I want to talk about this summer is we went to that youth conference. And those girls were just three of the girls that were on this trip, but there was probably two-thirds of the kids from Cove Crest really, really grew, and really fast, right? And so we went to AYC, the youth conference, and when I first got there, I get there and we're out in outside of the main ballrooms. One of them asks me, hey, do you have any more medals? I need to give one to my mom and my sister or something like that. I'm like, sure. And I had brought like 60 medals with me because I just wanted to I knew it was a good opportunity to give them out. So I reach into my backpack and I pull out like 30 of them just on the chains. And then they all ask me, like, Keenan, give us the medals, give us the medals. We'll go hand them out. And they were so on fire, all 12 of them. So I gave them each 5-6 medals, however many I could. And we go into the main ballroom where the conference has started, and there's all these booths and games and stuff like that. And these kids just run everywhere with these medals. And they're going up to kids they've never met before, they never talked to before, and they're saying, wear this medal. Mary's going to bring you to Jesus Christ. She's going to show you what the peace and joy of Christ is. But you have to wear it with confidence. You have to wear it every day, and you can't take it off. To see these kids go around this room and do that, to be so full of joy and like zeal, you know, like these little disciples are just flying everywhere, just going crazy. And it was the most beautiful, incredible thing. And I'm just walking around the room like this. I'm just walking around like that because it's just so awesome. And you see these kids and like, okay, I'll wear it, I'll wear it, I'll wear it. And for the rest of the conference, I saw the kids wearing the medals. And then they came back to me and they're like, hey, do you have any more? We need to give more out. I'm like, don't worry, we're going to go to Gabe's talk, and he has like 1,600, so we'll get some more from him. But, I mean, that wouldn't have happened a month and a half ago. But they bought in, and they pray the rosary every day, and they share that with others. And it's all because of her, because she softened their hearts and brought them to Jesus Christ. And another way I've seen that happen, which kind of shown itself at that conference, especially with these three girls, who have really, really just changed in so many ways, is, like we said, Mary brings us to Jesus. Jesus is the truth, beauty, and goodness, right? He is the transcendentals. He is those three, but he is the fullness of each, right? So not only does Mary bring us to the truth, the fullness of the truth in the Catholic faith, all of that truth, but also the beauty of our Catholic faith. And so at this conference, you know, they have praise and worship, which is beautiful. Outside of liturgy, it's great. It's fantastic. The kids love it. They really buy in. It really gets them going. But in the Mass, the music remained the same. And I didn't say this, but the kids come to me after the Mass. They're like, what was that? I was like, what are you talking about? There was a rock concert during Mass. I'm like, hey. And I just started laughing. I'm like, okay, I'm not arguing with you. And I'm like, it should be more reverent than that. Let's go back to our parish so we can have the organ. Like, they said this. I didn't say this. But how did that happen? Mary. Because they recognize, you know, I talked about these things in my talk. But they could have flown over their heads or gone in one ear or the other, out the other. But they very quickly realize how important reverence is, how important praying reverently is, how important receiving the Eucharist is the right way or in a way that's going to be conducive to my faith. So they receive that way at this conference, right? And they were like, yeah, this isn't how it should be. And I'm like, my job here is done.
One of them said to me, they're like, and they try to trick us by adding a little Latin, but you can't have drums and Latin at the same time. And although, yes, it's allowed, these girls did not need superficiality. They wanted quiet. They wanted silence, things that all, you know, the church promotes and all the Vatican documents. Exactly. So it was incredible. It was incredible to see them go from there to there. And one thing that I'd mentioned in the talk that I gave, like when the Virgin Mary looks at us, she doesn't just see our soul. She looks forward into our future and sees all of the souls that we're meant to touch along the way. And then from hearing about these girls and how they're going to go to college and the impact that they're already having and seeing them go out into all of these young people and give them miraculous medals, it's like, yes, that's just three girls in my youth group, but really they're going to touch thousands of people.
Countless.
And generations from
Countless.
And generations are going to be impacted.
Yeah, and you know, it was those three, but then it was like probably 15 of these kids that are just like on fire. One of them is probably going to, we'll see. He has a vocation. I'm very confident. He's been praying. He's one of the kids that went to Cove Crest. He's been praying multiple rosaries a day. He journals after his rosaries. He is on fire. All he cares about is this. And I very much, I'm pretty confident he's going to enter seminary. And then it sounds like, as you heard from one of those letters, one of those girls wanting to live like St. Therese. There's really only one way you can live like St. Therese. And so now she has her year of discernment, she says, right? And she's very, very much considering religious life. And so Mary does that too, right? She makes them realize that their vocation is extremely important and for them to find out their vocation is extremely important and that she will help them. And that through her, it's a guarantee they will find that. And that in that is their happiest life, is their most fulfilling life. And they very much realize that because of her, because she's made them all realize that. And so, you know, to really just summarize, getting them to Mary, getting them to pray the rosary, getting them to wear the medal, and then just praying for them every day, constantly sending lead down range, like we like to say, right? Just constantly sending Hail Marys down range for these kids. It works. It's not hard. It's not complicated. It's very simple. It can be difficult sometimes, right? Like, but it's not complicated. Get them to pray the rosary every day. Give them stories of people that have been converted by the rosary, of which there are countless ones, right? That resonate with them as young people. Get them to pray the rosary. Push them. Continually push them to pray the rosary. And their lives are going to change. And they're going to change quickly. And they're going to become the little disciples. And so I told them, the last talk I told them, I said, look, a lot of y'all are going off to college. If you continue praying the rosary every single day, and you continue growing in your faith like you already have, and you've already seen this happiness. So many, they wrote letters, right? And they're like, I've never been happier in my entire life. I never had peace like this before. And you heard their stories from before camping, before the summer. They were struggling. These kids were starving. You know, they were suffocating from the world, right? And now, they have this peace and they have this happiness. And you can see it. They exude that. They give that off. So I was like, okay, you're going off to college. And you're going to take this with you. And people are going to see you. And they're going to see how happy you are. And they're going to see how at peace you are. And they're going to want it. And now it's your turn to change their lives. Mary, to change their lives through you. Now it's your turn to be that vessel. And they're going to do that. And they're going to change so many lives at these colleges. And it's going to be incredible. And I was like, y'all are going to change the world. And it's not hyperbole. That's the truth. Because Mary's going to do it through you. And they know. And they know. It's not like, they know that it's Mary. They know it's not going to be them. And they know it's not going to be me. And they don't like when I say that. It's like, no, you helped. I was like, look, okay, but I was just a vessel that leaks all over the place.
Yes.
Right? Mary did all this for you. And ultimately, and they realize the order, Jesus Christ did all of this for you. And they recognize that it's all from Jesus through her. And they've seen that. And so they want to share that with as many people as they can, all because of the rosary, wearing the medal, and giving themselves to her entirely. And their lives have been changed forever.
And now, can you give me some advice or tips for youth ministers, for families to implement? What are some practical things that people can do to bring Mary to others as soon as possible?
As a family, I think the family rosary is vital. I think it's vital. I think also explaining why you pray the rosary, go over the promises of the rosary, because those promises are guarantees. Those will happen. It starts in the family, right? And then it goes forth from there. But for youth ministers, I mean, as you know, you taught me this, but I've seen it, getting it to see it this summer in such a profound way, was just reaffirming, it's like, okay, this is truly the way, to Jesus, right? For these young people. So giving them the medal right away, explaining why they need to wear the medal and wear it with confidence, but then starting to pray for them every single day, praying rosaries for them every single day, with specific intentions, right? I think being specific is really important for them to grow, for their conversion, their sanctification, the salvation of their souls, that they grow in a devotion to Mary every single day, so that they may be further conformed to Christ every single day, and praying that every day for them. So not only is the medal working on them, but then you have these rosaries, Mary's answering these prayers because they're never unanswered, every day. And so with that, and then just as youth ministers, not being afraid to just tell them the truth, just tell them the fullness of our truth, not holding back on them. Because the world's not holding back, right? They're being assaulted and assailed every day when they go to these public high schools and just, you know, sent all this garbage from the world and all these lies. So we have to tell them the truth. And that truth is hard. But they are ready for the challenge. They desire that challenge. You're speaking to a desire within the deepest parts of their heart. They're going to receive it, especially because they're wearing the medal and you're praying the rosary. They're going to receive the truth. And it's going to challenge them, but they're going to answer that call. They're going to answer that challenge because Mary's already started working on them. But you can't hold back from them. I think oftentimes that happens. And so it's only a disservice. Maybe being afraid it's going to scare them. No, they need to be challenged. They look for that. And so when you can do that, they're going to receive it and they're going to respond. And so like I told them this summer, it's like, faith is your response to the revealed God. How are you going to respond? And Mary helps them respond in a way they didn't even think they could.
Beautiful. Anything else you want to add? Got it all out? Left it all on the field?
I think I left it all on the field.
Great.
And push the whole rosary.
Yes.
Push the whole rosary. Don't think, if you're not praying it yourself as a youth minister,
right,
start praying it.
Start praying.
Start praying it. Because Mary's going to do incredible, incredible things through you.
And then, like you, you're going to be open to hearing her voice and doing things that you might not want to do.
Or would have never have done before, or even ever considered. Like, I would not, beforehand, I probably wouldn't have considered bringing the medal to all these kids in the camp. Like, I almost didn't, for whatever reason. I don't know why, because I had already intended on doing that. But she'll prompt things within you, like the class, teaching them the class. I wasn't planning on doing that.
Right.
But I was praying a rosary, and she's like, hey, you need to do this. I'm like, okay, Mom, I'll do whatever you say. And it bore all this fruit, right? And again, it's not me, it's her.
Right.
So you're of course, those who pray it are better disposed, but then also promoting it to your kids.
Yeah.
And if they're really struggling, which a lot of them really are, as you can see from these stories, the full rosary is going to change their life.
Yeah.
And they'll become disciples of Jesus Christ, and they'll spread that to the world.
Beautiful. Can you conclude with a prayer? You want to lead us in a...
Yeah, we can do that. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Blessed Mother, we know you are truly present with us here. We thank you for all you have done for us in this room, all you did for these kids at where I was this summer, and what you will do for them and for us for the rest of our lives. We pray that we may continually look to you, run to you, fly to you every single day of our lives, so that you can bring us closer to Jesus Christ, as you do best. As we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Thanks, brother.
Thank you. Mary, 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 Mary. Mary.